but somehow more than chosen one. On the day they do so, rejoice and be glad. Your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets the same way. But woe to you, rich, for you are now receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are full, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will weep in your grief. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way. To you who hear me, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. When they slap you on one cheek, turn and give them the other. When they take your coat, let them have your shirt as well. Give to all who beg from you. When someone takes what is yours, don't demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'm going to invite you to set your books and bulletins aside and take a very deep breath. Breathe in and then breathe out. And again, congratulations. You are all part of a conspiracy to conspire, con together, spire to breathe. We breathe together as a grand communion of saints. And oftentimes we forget how intimately connected we are and how we breathe as one. And none of you, none of us, made it here today without the help, the guidance, the nourishment, the sustenance that was given to us by our fellow conspirators. We are intimately connected at our very breath. And so each of us is here in this place as a result of some kind of nourishment, sustenance, grounding that we were given by a co-conspirator. And I want to suggest that for this particular All Saints Day, that we forget about our old notions of sainthood as those people who are way back in the past and remember those saints who are part of our life, part of our own history, and upon whose shoulders we stand, and whose help, whose nourishment, whose grounding and sustaining got us to where we are today. And so I thought I'd start by sharing a story about a saint who nourished and grounded and sustained me in my life. His name is Saint Fritz of Chicago. Actually, when I knew him, he was St. Fritz of Chelan, Washington. And Fritz was in his 80s when I first met him. And I was working at a retreat center. And Fritz was hailed as a great Lutheran theologian. And he was going to come to the retreat center, and he was going to lecture at the retreat center. And so we were all very excited, because this was a new retreat center that we had just created, and we wanted the best theologian to come. And this fellow had all these credentials from a, another retreat center called Holden Village that some of you may know. And so he was one of the founders of Holden, and he was there in the early days, and everybody all around the retreat center was all abuzz, waiting for Fritz to arrive. And he showed up with this mop of white hair that was all messy and a t-shirt on it that read, "Old age and cunning beats youth and exuberance every time." And the very first night he was at the retreat center, he gathered all of us together for a lecture. And he had some technology that he was going to use. He had a slide projector. And he showed us all these crystals, and he talked about creation. And each crystal would spawn another story, and that would spawn another story. And we were enthralled by these crystals that he was showing us. And, oh yes, isn't God's creation marvelous? It's just terrific. And all the children were kind of lying down on the ground before his feet, watching this on the screen. And yes, creation is lovely. And at the very end of the lecture, Fritz said, "Did you like the crystals? Aren't they wonderful? I made them myself." Of course, one of the children said, "How did you make them?" He said, "Well, first I peed into a cup." Well, all around the retreat center for several days with all this hissing about, "That's Fritz. He pees in cups and turns them into crystals, and we all watch them on the screen." So the kids followed him everywhere. Everywhere they followed Fritz. And he had this big black box. Big, heavy black box. And he told the children that if they were very, very good, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, he would show them the stars. And so late that night, he set up his telescope. And the kids all patiently, they had been so good all day. You know, they took naps when they were asked to, when they were ready, because they were going to spend all night outside with Fritz. And he pees in cups and then makes adults watch the crystals that he made from them. So Fritz shows them this big telescope there. And the kids all line up, and they're all looking, and they're all marveling at this. And the youngest child was about 2.5 years old, little Justin. And Justin walks up to this telescope. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And he walks up to this telescope, and he looks up at Fritz. And he knows that Fritz is really special, and he says, "Do stars come out of there?" Fritz was an important theologian. He came back year after year after year. And I listened to things that he said, and I asked him questions. But I was very shy. I'm a shy person, you know. And I was very much in the background. And one day, after several years, Fritz came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "When are you going to come out of the background and stand up at the front and teach people what you've learned?" And St. Fritz changed my life. I was 29 years old when he asked me that question. Now I'm sure that each and every one of you could tell a similar story about a saint who nourished you, gave you the sustenance you needed, and changed your life, moved you, touched you. So I'm not going to preach. You are. I invite you to tell a story briefly, ever so briefly, because there's lots of us here, if you would. If you would share, if there's folks here who would share the story. Some of you may just want to give a name, but I invite you to name a saint and tell a line or two about them. Who wants to go first?
I'd like to thank a fellow named Gord Williams. And Gord Williams was a pastor trained in one of the Ivy League universities in the United States and ended up in our small parish. And he was particularly good with the teenagers, and he was particularly good at challenging the fundamentalist sort of attitude that we had and thought was right. And those teachings have stuck with me for a long time.
Anyone else? Oh, I'll give thanks for, there's so many, but today who came to mind was St. Gordon of Regina. Gordon Allen was my confirmation teacher when I was 13 years old, and at an age that I thought was ancient, when he had 6 children, he had felt a call to ministry, and he became the first candidate for ministry from our congregation. And I was in love with him when I was 13, and I turned out to be the second candidate for ministry from the congregation. His wife taught me in CGIT, and he taught me that ministry came out of life.
I've been thinking about this. Well, I think I want to talk about St. Ilt from Nottingham. That actually was my father. He's a very kind person, and he always taught me, do unto others as you do unto as they would do unto you, and be ye kind to one another. And he was a joker, which I am too, so I take after that very honestly. But I do remember when they lived out in Victoria, and I go out and would visit them. He loved kids. Of course, all his grandchildren were here. And he was known as Mr. Penguin, and all the children in the apartment that he lived in knew him as Mr. Penguin. We go around and do this. Okay. I remember one time going to the shopping center with him, the mall, the other end of Victoria, and we're walking down, and one child sees him and just does this. And he took me back. So it was his kindness and thoughtfulness.
I thank St. John, who got me out of that old way of thinking and into the new way of expressing my faith.
I thank St. Bob and St. Mark, Dr. Toto, but when I was a teenager, they introduced me to campus life and they taught me that Christianity is cool.
I'm not going to speak of a human, I'm going to speak of a canine. And his name was Butch. I want to call him St. Butch because he saved my funeral body's life. And he taught me to always remember to listen to my inner voice. Because God is in us, and it was in Butch's eyes.
I'll remember today St. Bill Phipps. He was a United Church minister who back in the late 70s came to the church that I was attending in Ottawa. And he really, really got the social justice message of the gospel. And I had been political in my high school and university days, not very church involved, then I'd become church involved, and there was some of that, but he brought the two things together for me, and that has stayed with me always.
I remember a St. Jim who was our young people's leader many years ago when I was in a little Baptist church, and at a particular weekend away, somehow through what we were doing, it came clear to me that I was lovable no matter what.
I remember Saint Jacob, who knew my father well and knew that I was much like him in that we like to fix things. And he said to me one day, keep fixing things. If you're going into the ministry, keep fixing things. Because that way you'll be less inclined to fix people. They're not broken.
St. Everett, or St. Dad. It was a dark and windy night. And And I was just a kid, well, a teenage kid, and I don't remember what we were traveling back from, but we landed in the car, in the driveway, outside our house, when I broached the subject that I was thinking about the possibility of going to seminary. And then many, many years later, another situation, I don't know, we weren't in a car, and I said to Dad, I'm thinking of looking into this singing stuff and going on leave from call. And in both of those situations, and many other situations, there was this this amazing grace, and this yes, and yes, and yes. Saint Dad, I have moments when I try to remember you. Most often, we are snapshots, black and white, noticed in passing, touching the hems of each other's garment as we travel on, unknown to each other in our fullness. How could we know each other fully? I barely know myself. We go through life in such fashion with only partial recognition of each other. Snapshots. Why not? Our survival doesn't depend on it. But sometimes we catch a surprising glimpse of something more. We pause and turn, fully facing each other, looking a little more deeply, becoming aware of something more, wondering at the rich beauty of each other's story. In such moments, Saint Dad, I love you. Every once in a while, your black and white photo comes to life. Your story captures me again, every once in a while, taking flight within my soul, within my heart, for the briefest of times, touching me brilliantly and deeply, then passing into dusk again. In such a moment, life slows down, and not wanting to disturb, leave, or forsake its creation, my breathing stops, hushed. If only briefly, I catch my breath in deep appreciation for your life, so sacred, so holy, so deeply human, saintly, if you have to. And I find myself not wanting to leave, though time takes me away. Such are the magic moments in which we touch and are touched by the sacred in each other. Your uniqueness, your being, your pain, your joy takes me to a place where I can barely speak, barely breathe. So moved am I to be there, to be here with you. And so I turn my body to you, to fully present be. In this moment at hand, you're all I've got now, within this astounding moment of grace and gift. Now, I am here with you, drinking deeply of your wisdom, listening all the more attentively to the sounds and colored collage emerging from your snapshot. And in turning, I bow my body and weep my tears of gratitude for you.